You think people are going to care that we're not doing this live?
Yeah.
No. No, they won't care.
You had a few people reach out. Can't wait for the podcast to come back. Well, it'll come back. Oh, it's coming.
How much are you paying them for that? For that kind of comment?
I don't know.
Nobody cares, Jay. Nobody cares. Toys don't matter anymore. Nobody wants to talk about dollies. Nobody wants to see us talk about dollies. The cost of this podcast is too expensive to collect.
Well, you got some dollies there. Why don't you sell those dollies?
Yeah, I see you got rid of all your dollies for your video screens.
No,
you used to have a dolly background.
I'm upstairs now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, all the toy stuff. I only have one computer. I should get another one, but I'm good.
What's that Marvel vs. Capcom thing you got in the background there? Is that one of those stand-up, like one of the new release things?
Yeah, it's a arcade 1-Up.
Yes, 1-Up. That's right. That's right. Did you get the Turtles one?
Yeah.
No. NBA Jam?
NBA Jam is right there.
Nice.
Marvel, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. But the Capcom and the Midway ones are great because they have like 15 games on them too, which is awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can start the show, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Finally, back at it after a long hiatus. I don't know how long we've been gone.
How long was it? 8 months?
No, it wasn't 8 months. It just felt like 8 months. I don't think it was that. I think it was April. Six months? Maybe it was 6 months. Yeah, it's been a while, half a year. Nobody even remembers us. Nobody remembers. Well, if you don't know us, this is the Rufio to my Peter Pan, the Zach Morse to my Kelly Kapowski, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
The J.D. Roth to my Johnny Arcade.
Are you going to go that deep, huh? Okay, that's fine. The Double Dare to my You Can't Do This on Television. Did you ever watch Funhouse with J.D. Roth?
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Oh, yeah. I got to tune in and check it out, and I loved it when they climbed and they fell in the ball pit.
For whatever reason, we had a station called WUAB, which was
Channel 43 Cleveland,
yeah. Ohio.
Yeah.
And that's where all the good stuff came from. Yeah, so I watched Funhouse, and later he did Game Pro with, remember Brennan, dude?
Yeah.
What's up, dude? Brennan. Where's he now? Where's J.D. Roth now? Google it real quick.
You want me to Google? Okay.
J.D. I'm on a computer too, but I just want you to do it.
You're just going
to
be making me do it. Well, he's still alive. He's 54.
Whoa.
He's a television producer now. He's the co-creator of The Biggest Loser and Extreme Weight Loss. That guy has done well for himself.
JD,
remember when you liked us gamers and us little pop culture fellas?
Yeah, so just a little bit of background. I mean, I think you and I have talked, but it's been quite a year of transformation for myself in a positive way. And one of the things that's come back and that's actually helped with my transformation is gaming again. I took about 2 years off from
playing. What do you mean about transformation? Let's talk about what that means. Because 6 months is a long time. And it seemed to fly by for me. But what is this transformation you speak of in this half a year that's since transpired?
Oh, just making healthier choices in my life and difficult choices, cutting out a lot of stuff. And unfortunately, one of the things I cut out a couple of years back, right after my mom passed, actually, was video games. It had nothing to do with her or anything. Just for some reason, I just stopped. When the pandemic hit, like everybody, I hit games really, really hard. And then after she passed, I just stopped playing them. But through everything I've been going through this past year, all the good stuff, gaming has been very, very positive. That and music. So I've decided to embrace that. So I'm game streaming now on top of my live streaming, which is pretty cool. A lot of fun. Different. Enjoyable. Scary.
Yeah. Playing the virtual dolly stuff. Because isn't that really just the evolution of play from toys to video games?
Absolutely.
At least that's what it was in our time.
You, me, and Dare. Yeah, we were forced to stop playing with toys because nature called. and got into comic books and video games, which looking back is exactly the same thing as playing with toys.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of toy. I mean, for, you know, however long video games were considered a subset of the toy brand. Famously, you know, the NES, when it landed, was under the toy banner. It was a robot because, you know, video games were still tainted and whatnot. So it's still a toy in my eyes, even though video games themselves is like the biggest entertainment section of the world. I'm curious, now that you've embraced games, how has that made you reflect differently or not so differently, or has it even brought more consciousness to the Nintendo Quest journey?
Oh yeah, that
like 10 years ago almost we went on that.
Next year will be 10 years. Yeah. I watched a few clips on your channel actually, and
the extended stuff,
the extended cuts, which are great. Did another amazing job putting that together. And man, it's crazy. First of all, we look like children, right? You know how you look at me? I don't know about you, but for me, besides the T-crease, I look in the mirror and I pretty much think I look the same. No. I watched Nintendo Quest from 2013 and yeah, we've aged.
I've looked better.
Yes. It's amazing that we did that, because to try and do something like that now, I'm not saying it's not possible. I just think we did it at the right time for whatever reason, and was one hell of a trip, man.
Look at this.
It was awesome.
This is how childish I still am.
Oh, the
sun is just like glaring in my eyes. Oh my goodness.
Well, this let's is the say
worst we've set up.
We've talked about my setup here, which is a different room in my house. All the toys are still there. The studio where I shoot all the toy videos are still there. It's downstairs. This is where I've chosen to do my live streaming, so it's all game themed. Anyway, I'm not the only one who has a brand new background. You seem to, every season at least, have a new kind of backdrop. So why don't you tell everybody what that's all about?
Yeah, well, I'm in a new location, and I think much like season one, over the course of however many episodes, you will see it get populated with different dollies in the background. I made the decision in the summer, I think it was mid-July, to get a separate office space because I've just been really busy since we wrapped the last season of the Jay and Rob Toy Show podcast. Making films, shooting stuff, finishing Action Figure Adventure Season 2, which of course we'll get to soon. And I just really needed a dedicated space so I could just come away from home, sit down, focus, get it done. And of course, you can't just have white blank walls. I've done the boiler room shoot before.
I miss it. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, look no further than Rob's channel here. Dig into our episodes. The very first couple Rob was in, it was actually Freddy Krueger's boiler room where he shot.
Yeah.
I don't know how he let you do that, but he did. And there you go.
Well, it was during the daytime. No one was sleeping, so he was sleeping. that's just how that works. So, I mean, now we've got this set up here. It's, you know, it is what it is. I'm not used to this, like, cross beam of like,
wait,
like it's like, what is it from Never Ending Story, like the Oracle, the Southern Oracle? It's just like burning my face.
Well, I was gonna do the wait, stay out of the light.
Oh,
first scene of Raiders. Yeah,
yeah.
You'd be dead multiple times. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's me. That sounds about right. Oh, Indiana Jones, I got to put that on the docket too. Hang on, let me add that.
So please don't.
We're talking about it.
Please don't.
Indiana Joneser. Okay, we'll talk about that later as well. So yeah, I got a new space. Jay's got a new space. It's a new year. There's been a lot of toy news that has happened, of course. I got to get to some icebreakers, though. And the big icebreaker, of course, is, so you still like toys or what, Jay? Are you good?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I didn't want to cut you off there, but I do want this to be in the episode, because I've actually had people reach out and say this. Because I've started to live stream gaming, have you stopped?
Jay, you can only like one thing. You can only like one thing.
Anybody who knows me, let me explain really quickly. My whole life, for whatever reason, I'm very thematic. So in my house, each room is dedicated to something. And that's just the way I've always been. Okay. So this is where the games go. Themes. That's why it looks like this. No, I have not stopped collecting toys. I'm uploading and doing podcasts live every week on YouTube. I'm just taking the goodness of Nintendo Quest, the goodness of Action Figure Adventure, and I'm embracing both. That's it. Anyway, icebreaker.
Do you still like toys or are you good? That's the icebreaker. So you still like toys, but are you like still like into toys, or has this gone to like a second or third kind of back burner in your pop culture sphere currently?
I still love toys. I was actually downstairs the other day shooting my Amazing Fantasy 15 Spider-Man video, and I was just kind of looking around because we've talked about not embracing enough what you have. And I did that the other day, and I'm actually at a good point now where I'm very satisfied with my collection. Both vintage and new.
You say this every few months, my friends. I want to see where it's going this time, though.
Well, it's been a few months, hasn't it? So I'm saying it.
But the point is, you say it and you continue to add stuff, even though you're good, you continue to acquire.
Right. But I don't feel the need to purchase everything, which is a big problem. Hasbro and Mattel have kindly made that decision for me with their price hikes, just with kind of lackluster product as of late. They're like, the Spider-Man's great, but a lot of the Legends have just passed over. G.I. Joe Classifieds, I'm very picky. But more so, I'm just happy with where it's at, and I still love collecting, absolutely.
Toys, 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 right? Like,
where does he get those wonderful toys?
Yeah, I mean, we have many dealers of the drug we love, especially in our hometown of Heroes, London, Ontario's.
Yeah.
One of Canada's biggest stores. So it's hard to avoid toys.
Boy.
And I'm still definitely on the toy train. Mr. Tinker Toy.
I like to tinkle. Tinkletown. Go to Tinkletown. What?
It's funny. I don't feel the pull as much from external sources. Maybe because I've been so busy and I haven't been so buried in all the news that's happening around. It's not like, oh, look at this, look at this. It's like, I haven't felt that external pull. But when I'm in a store, it's like, oh, that's neat. It's like, oh, that's neat too. And I remember, I think it was in June, Formo Toys, which was the company that had these very interesting He-Man kind of like figures, and then they rebranded stuff to their Legends of Dragonor line. I thought, oh, those are really cool, interesting sculpts, obviously inspired in homage to the original vintage He-Man stuff, but in a whole new direction, very Jack Kirby. I'm going to get those. I'm like, you know, looking at my budget, that's going to be it for the year. I don't need to have any other toys. There's nothing on the horizon. There's no new pre-orders. There's nothing that I need, because I'm happy with where my collection is, both new and both vintage. I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you find reasons to need new things, like a new office space that needs decoration. Well, I got to get something for the office. You got to put something on the shelf there. People need to see something in the background. You can't just have a white wall or your bricks, Rob.
Yeah. So how do we say this? I don't feel that pull. Like, when there's a new wave, something that's always grabbed me is the G.I. Joe classified stuff. I don't feel the need. I had the twins, Zaymont, Tomax in my hand. I had Stalker in my hand, that entire wave in my hand. And, you know, you and I actually met up at Heroes, and we both just looked at them and were like, no, there's nothing super special. I mean, the vintage are great. Even the 2008 ones are great. But I don't need these. And especially $40 each Canadian, $80 for the two.
How much is it, the price? Is it easier to say, I don't need these because the figure themselves, or is it really the price saying, I don't need these for this dollar amount?
Okay. Well, when you put it that way, I'm going to say probably most of my decision-making has to do with the cost.
Okay.
Because, you know, I haven't liked every decision they've made for, let's talk G.I. Joe for a second. But I've still picked up all of them. up until the last couple of waves where I'm just like, I can't, you know, when you feel sick.
Yeah.
You pick it up. You're like, I can't do this, man. I can't buy this.
Buyer's regret almost instantly. Yeah,
I can't spend this much money on Zaymont and Tomax. Now, again, you know, if that's your guy, cool. Like Serpentor's your guy. You're going to pay the $3,000 for him. Sure. Go for it.
No. It was $80 US.
Sure.
Plus my $50 Hasbro Pulse membership, plus duty, plus shipping.
Yeah, so he's my guy.
But he's my guy, Jay. He's my guy. Yeah. So I can spend whatever it takes to get my guy. I just need him and then I'll feel more complete. There's not enough Snake Men dollies out there for me.
It is price. What about you? It's got to be.
It's the options. It's the options. I mean, the price is certainly a factor, but it's like, you know, I collect turtles. How many Leonardos do I need?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's the movie ones, the cartoon ones, the Mirage comic ones. There's the Ultimates, like the Playmates ones from Super 7. It's like, I don't need all of these. I'm not really getting much more out of that new iteration, that new figure, even the variant type stuff. It's just not quite enough. And then if that's not quite enough, then the price is like the overarching thing that comes over the top and says, okay, well, now I really don't need it. Like, that's a little bit of perspective, like factual data perspective. If I continue to spend this on something that I'm not completely sold on from the design, it doesn't make sense and I won't be able to acquire the things that I do want. So there's a bit of a price cap. Fair. There's a bit of a price cap. Let me ask you this big question, because this comes down to it. How much do you think you spend a year in toys?
Oh, I'm not disclosing that. No chance.
So I did some quick figures and I thought, you know, there are some months, if I looked at a 12-month period at some point, I would have easily have spent $10,000 on toys.
Wow.
Now, is that a lot of money or not? Because that's less than $1,000 a month, you know?
$1,000 a month.
Which isn't that much. Which isn't that much. $1,000 a month on toys.
On toys, yeah.
It's less than that. It's like $850. Now think about this. If you get like a Galactus, which I did, that's half of that in 1 month.
Right.
You buy Eternia right now if you're in Canada. We'll talk about Eternia too. That's $1,000 right there. Like there's a lot of big ticket stuff that like easily eats that away. And then if you start picking up a classified figure, a Marvel Legends figure, you're spending $200 easily. Like I think most people could drop a couple $100 every weekend and that would easily add up to $800 a month.
Okay. So let me kind of continue piggyback off that. So I look at the cost of things in a budget like that, say, and I'm honestly looking at lines that are in my collection now that are vintage that have an end. I recently completed Buck Rogers. It's not a huge line, but I did. And it was so satisfying that was over in a good way. So I'm looking at, okay, like that Amazing Fantasy Spider-Man figure is $50. Okay. I look at that. I'm like, you know, I felt a little guilty about that. I'm like, I could have put that $50. I could have put part of that budget towards completing the whatever line. I'm starting to think that way now. It's not that I want collecting to end and to be completely done, because
no, but these are the factors, right? You're getting something else out of it, right? I just talked about, is the design enough? Okay. Is the price enough? Like what other things would I get out of this purchase? It's a decoration for the office. Okay. Now I can afford it. It fills a space that I need to fill and it's a good figure. Three boxes you check. In your case, is it also completing a collection that you're nearing the end of? So, but $10,000, I mean, I don't know what you spend on toys, Jay, but I think there are, if you took the right 12-year period, action figure adventure aside, even well on action figure adventure for the personal side of things, I don't think $10,000. Yeah. I don't think $10,000.
That's a whole other show.
That far fetched. Yeah, I don't think it'd be that far fetched.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy when you say that big number, but when it's 20 here, $50 there, 100 here.
Well, what you got to understand is for everyone listening, you know, we are very lucky when we get to shoot this, where we get to go to a lot of stores that we would never ever get to go to. So at least in my mind, I'm sure Rob's the same. It's like you're in this great store that you've never been to and you might never get to again. And you see this item that you haven't seen in a long time, if ever. And you're like, oh man, like, when am I ever going to get back to this location? Probably never. So you pick it up, right? I'm very guilty of that. I also like to have, I like to have a little something from each store because it reminds me of that store and that time, that kind of thing too. So, but I think honestly, dude, every single store we went to in season one and two, I got something for my personal collection. I know I did 100%.
I don't think you did.
No?
Nope.
Well, there's one store, yeah, but no, even at that one I did. I'm not going to see the stores out loud.
You know what? We'll use this discussion point to segue into Action Figure Adventure Season 2. Finally, the show that we shot last summer and turned around somehow in an entire year is out, and it's now streaming exclusively on Jinx Esports TV in Canada exclusively, coming soon to everywhere around the world. Canada always gets the exclusive. That's how we do it. And episode one has aired at this point. I'm curious, have people reached out with their thoughts on that?
Yes. They love it. It's great. It's bigger and better so far, which you and I, for whatever reason, probably time, we didn't screen it together this time. So I haven't seen.
We watched two episodes together.
Yeah, one and two. Yeah, that's right.
Life
yeah.
took us on our divergent paths.
And I haven't watched it. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool because, you know, my mind, I don't remember what happened last week, right? So it's, you know, I think Craig reached out. It's like, oh, this, and this. I'm like, before I answer him, I'm like, oh, yeah, that did happen. Yeah. So it's been positive so far. I love this time when all the hard work is, you know, is paid off and we get to release it to the world. So it's exciting. How about you?
Well, yeah, I have a lot of good comments, of course. People are excited. Oh, man, that episode flew by like in 5 minutes, and people have like rewatched it two or three times to just see what's in the background as well, to see if you missed something that you should have considered and what they would have picked up. But like, we're already getting people playing the home game, which is what I love about the show. It's like,
yeah,
Jay does what Jay wants to do with his quest, but then you can kind of mentally take note. What would you have done differently based on what you know about toys and marketability and saleability and stuff? So it's a show that begs engagement on that level, which is very fun. But yeah, everybody really liked it. And everybody really liked the first half in particular, which is pre-hunting, which sets up the journey. It recaps what happened in season one. It talks about how toys really dig their claws into us as children and what that does for us. And then it sets up season two's overarching quest and where you plan to go and what you're trying to do. So that stuff is always so difficult to handle as a filmmaker, because you've got to make it clear and concise, but you can't leave any detail out because it's the thing that everybody will call back to when you're in the moment making a decision. Like, they got to remember the rules of the game, kind of. And so you've got to make sure that those are understood.
I would also say to everyone playing along at home, no pausing. No pausing. I would say you can watch it again. That's fine, because that's like doing another lap of the store. But you can't pause and look at a shelf. You got to play it live, because that's pretty much what it's like for us. You don't get to sit there. And it's amazing. You know, Rob gets to go through all this stuff when he's editing it. And he'll message me here and there. It's just like last season, be like, oh man, did you know this was there? And I don't remember at all. So yeah, no pausing when you play. That's the rules.
Although we usually had about 2 hours and they get to see each store visit in about 10 minutes. So there's that too.
Yeah, they can rewatch it. No problem.
They can do their rewind lap, like you do a lap in the store to see if anything was missed.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. Well, you've got a digital code, much like all our Kickstarter backers. And I say this every time we do a Kickstarter campaign, and every time people come out later on say, well, how come I can't get it? Well, I told you, now is the time to be a backer so that you can get it. And our Kickstarter backers get episodes a week before they drop in Canada. So anywhere around the world, we have backers in Germany, we have backers in Sweden, Australia, the US, of course, and of course in Canada as well. And all those backers get it a week early, just a week early. They still have to wait a whole week for the next episode to come. So, Jay, you get to go along for the ride. You have a code to access the episode, so you can now watch them in order with everybody else that's a backer and see what's up.
Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's pretty important that you watch the TV show that you are a part of.
Hey. I like to compare myself to Kim Basinger. She never watched any of her stuff.
And what has she done for me lately?
Where is she? Well, dude, she's like She's up there.
So
she's doing good. She's fine.
You're not.
Season you know one, what? Season two. Season
I'm a big two. Fan of Batman. I'm a big fan of Cool World, but LA Confidential, I guess, would be another.
My stepmother's an alien. Woof. So good.
Yeah, Jay, I think you better hop on the horse because you're going to get more calls from people and say, well, what did you think when you did this? And you'd be like, that didn't happen. You're like, oh, wait, maybe it did. I think you better
go. All right, I'll watch it. I'm so vain. I'll watch myself. I'll put it on the big screen. Oh, just screen.
Watch it for everything else. It's not about you. Watch it for everything else. Watch it.
Yeah. I'll pause myself. Praise, and be like, wow.
Praise my work. How about that? How about you praise my work? It's always about Jay, and it's the guy who's doing the thing. What about the guy behind the guy? What about me? Watch it for me.
Well, sorry, Zob.
I thought it was hilarious, and I mentioned this on Facebook, and I think you saw the comment. Somebody said, I can't wait to see what you guys get up to. And I said, well, interestingly enough, I'm in it far less this season, yet I still get equal billing and I appear on the poster. Yeah. It's just true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, it's tough. And, you know, we've played with the idea of having both of us on camera because I think it would be a great back and forth. But you're Mr. Director, right? So you need to be behind the scenes.
I can't be in front and behind. And some of the comments I got, and I got more than one person saying they like how I'm the sounding board off camera as you go through this. And sometimes they like how I play devil's advocate and point out things that you're not thinking about.
And that's the toughest thing, is a little bit of behind the scenes here for you. Every time I find something cool, which is multiple times in each store, I'll look at Rob, who's usually behind the camera, and go, oh my God, or something. And he's like, don't do that, because the audience doesn't know who you're talking to. Well, I guess they kind of do. So anytime you see that, I'm looking at Rob, because yes, he's the sounding board. Because it's so strange to be there by myself, and I want to share the excitement, but with myself, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So all those times when I'm like, oh, and I look to the side of the camera, I'm looking at Rob. There you go.
Yeah. And there's several shots in the trailer where I think the Dino Riders piece that you hold in your hand in one of the stories, you look at it, you're like, oh my God, Rob.
And that was, without ruining anything, that was the price. I was like, I didn't know they were X amount. It was like, whew.
Yeah.
I remember that.
They're up there. We talked about how much we could potentially spend within a year. I'm wondering what you would do, Jay, if you had to start collecting from scratch. You didn't have anything at all. Where would you start as a collector today? Yeah, I mean, it really is. Like, you could have the same budget that you spend now, which is whatever. And let me say this. I don't have a budget. I have loose barriers. Like I said, I wasn't going to get anything past the Formo Toys pre-order. And I've since spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
On toys. So it's kind of like, I can justify this and that. I like it. I've been a lot more pickier and choosier, and I've opened a lot more stuff as well, which has been my hard, fast rule that I've been trying to do for the last 2 years. But where would you start if you had nothing? You could say a fire destroyed your house. You didn't have anything. Maybe you're just new to collecting and you didn't really know about the world of adult action figures. Where would you start, and how would you start amassing something? A collection or display, or would it even be for that kind of goal?
I will not name names, but I had someone come up to me in the spring.
Mysterious.
And we were talking, and he's around our age, and he wanted to get back into toy collecting again. And he asked me, where do you start? So I'm going to give the answer that I gave him. As a new collector, you got to look at what fueled you as a kid, I would say. I mean, unless there's something that you're watching on TV or a movie now that you love, but most of us get back into it because of something from our childhood. So go back to, just don't even think about it. Think about the one IP that you fell in love with. Rob's, boom, He-Man. Me, Star Wars, boom. It's like not even a thought. It's just right there. Go to that, and that's your starting point. And then if you want to recreate your childhood, you can with vintage stuff. But a lot of these companies like Mattel with the Origins line are killing it. He-Man wise, they're killing it with recreating the originals and kind of making them better. And it's a lot cheaper too. So you have multiple options, but I would say start with the IP that you love the most, which should come to you instantly.
It's a good answer. And usually I like to poke holes for the sake of banter back and forth. But it's a really good answer. I'm probably a little bit more practical because of my station in life with kids and limited space in a house. And I don't get to have an arcade room. I don't get to have a dolly room. I don't get to have themes like Jay does. I get to have spaces that I have to additionally rent out and make it look like some sort of sandwich shop in Pittsburgh.
I like it. And I got to say that you have kids. I don't. I have arcade cabinets. So
it's the same thing. That's the life. That's the choice in life, folks. You can either choose kids or arcade cabinets. Never the two shall cross. That's just how it is. You don't want apple juice spilt on NBA Jam or She'll Be on Fire. See how I did that? I would probably, much like my life, look at what space I had first and foremost. Like, do I just want one or two pieces that I can put on a bookshelf or my desk at work and figure that out? Like, what am I playing with here? Because we know that toy collecting can go really quickly and you can amass more than you realize you know what to do with, which is then phase two of toy collecting. What do I really need? Should I, you know, recycle some of this and sell it and get something else? That kind of stuff. So I always like to think, look at how much space, even if it's just a shelf, if it's a room, a shelf, a table, look at that. And then really, like, basically what Jay said, go back to the thing that speaks to you or something that you just really love. It doesn't have to be something you love forever, but if it's something that spoke to you as a youth and it's still with you and you're finding new things today that continue to call to you, that's probably going to continue to call to you in some form or another for the rest of your life. You know, I don't think like any of these new drama shows that get the one-off kind of figure where there's like maybe four figures or something like that are going to have a sprawling line. Maybe it's not something that's going to call to you forever. Maybe you don't want to invest in that. But what is that thing that is viscerally attached to your persona and identity that you can't let go of and find the way to tackle it? Now, you know, you mentioned He-Man. Of course, G.I. Joe and Turtles are the other big brands, and Transformers. Where do you go with like these brands or Star Wars? Because there's big, small, short, lots. Like there's so many different ways to go with those big IPs in terms of collecting.
Yeah, where do you start? I mean, if it's for Star Wars, most likely I would say 3.75. The figures, you know, when we grew up, that's the size they were for the most part. Because you're going to get vehicles with that stuff. A lot of the 6-inch stuff now, you don't get any of that stuff. They look arguably better. They're more detailed. They got a lot more to them, but you're missing a big component of the show or the series, which is the vehicles, the environments, that kind of stuff. It'll never be like it was. I don't know. That's a big deal to me. He-Man is the anomaly where it's 5.5-inch and they still do vehicles and play sets. I mean, that's really, really cool. So that being said, there's no reason in my eyes why Hasbro can't, or Mattel, or I guess Mattel is, why Hasbro can't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, with Joe, there's 3.75. There's 6-inch. Star Wars has 6-inch, 3.75. There's Hot Toys stuff. Like, if you're an adult, are you going to invest in, you know, the 3 and 3.75 Black Series or the Retro? Are you going to get vintage or are you going to get a nice Hot Toys piece, which, you know, looks incredible?
For me, that's easy.
What would you do? Like, if you didn't have anything, you're like, man, I don't have anything. Whatever reason, I'm going to get back into collecting some Star Wars toys.
Boy,
what are you going to get?
Yeah. So I would look at what makes the series special for me, which is Luke Skywalker. And then I would want everything that kind of surrounded Luke. So his X-Wing is a must. R2-D2 is a must. Those are things that make the character who he is. So for me, the Black Series is really not ideal, although the figures might look better. And that's a big argument too, because a vintage collection does some nice sculpts. But I would say 4-inch would be the way to go, because you can get the X-Wing, you can get R2, you can get the Dagobah playset and really recreate that whole thing. But if space is an issue, maybe you want, you know, a really nice likeness of Mark Hamill, then you can do a Hot Toys, a New Hope Hot Toys that comes with every kind of outfit that he wore in A New Hope. You know, the Stormtrooper outfit, the Farm Boy outfit, the X-Wing outfit, everything in one. So yeah, check out.
Yeah, so I guess maybe it goes back to what you were saying, you know, if Star Wars is your thing, start there. But even further, what is it about Star Wars that you're drawn to? Is it Luke Skywalker? Is it like a set piece like Dagobah or Hoth or the Cantina? And maybe you want to just do the Cantina, or maybe you just want the Millennium Falcon. So you can have all the main characters and the Falcon itself, and then you could be done if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you want to recreate a scene, which a lot of people do, and I've heard of collectors, again, with Star Wars, that they really don't have a favorite character. It's crazy to me to think that, but they just, there's a certain part they like the hangar bay part in A New Hope. So you can have the Falcon, Han working on it with Chewie, and then you can have Ben and Luke walking in. Like, you can just recreate that scene. That's it. I'm done. Put that on your coffee table. That's my scene.
Now, you mentioned Masters. I want to kind of cut back to where we are with our toy collecting. Origins is still going pretty strong, Jay. And one of the big things that was announced at San Diego Comic-Con a couple months ago and now has since come up for a crowdfunding pre-order initiative is the Eternia playset. So what do you think about Eternia? What do you think about the price point? And ultimately, what is the direction of the Origins line? Where is it going?
The Origins line, I think it's great. I really, really do. There is a clear direction where it's going, which is great. Something I've complained about specifically with G.I. Joe, where they don't know what the heck is going on with that brand. But Mattel and Masters, they know exactly where they're going. I love it. Eternia is, we've talked about this playset a lot. It's been featured in our shows a lot. It's one that you and I don't own either. But it's one that we kind of, well, at least I want, but space is a huge issue for this. I think if you have the space for it, the price is fine. It's going to be pretty expensive, considering we saw one in the box for 5,000 Canadian. You're getting it cheaper. But I said this on my channel as well. If you're going to shell out $1,000, and this is just my opinion, I would go for vintage. I would keep saving until I had enough to get the actual vintage one. As fragile as it is, that's just me. If you're going over $1,000, that's my opinion.
That's an interesting take. I would dispute that. I think that this is so close to the vintage, and there's more bells and whistles to have something that is in pristine condition at you know, a quarter of the price, depending on where you live. It's the way to go.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm wondering what it does to the vintage price of Eternia with this being out there.
Yeah, obviously the fatal flaw of that playset, and I do mean fatal flaw, is the tracks, and they're like shattered glass. I've had that experience. We've seen it happen on camera. So obviously they've fixed that, or at least we hope. But looking at it, and I've only seen the one photo of it or a couple photos of it, they haven't changed a lot. So I think if it was a lot more different, I would be more inclined to actually to pick it up, to be honest with you. But the fact that they're really trying to recreate the first one so badly, it's the first time I've looked at the Origins line and I'm kind of like, eh. I just wanted them to keep it retro in style, but change it up a bit like they did with Grayskull. The Grayskull doesn't have a whole lot of changes, but it is different enough.
So I don't understand that. So it's really close to the original vintage playset. Mm-hmm. It's significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make you want to get the new one instead of spending much more for something that is probably more fragile?
No, because much like the figures, I love how you can see 80, 90% of them is the vintage, but then they've improved it. So it's just different enough. I wanted this with Eternia. Now, maybe they're going to show more photos later on and change a few things, but it's so close to the original.
That's what I mean, though. It's so close. I would rather spend far less if I was determined to get an Eternia, and it's so close to the original.
Yeah.
Like, it would be different if it was like, it was some sort of different scheme, or the towers were closer together, or there were no tracks, like there were bridges and stuff. Like, if it wasn't the original at all and it was a third of the price, it's like, well, I'm getting less for less. I'd rather just save and get the original. But I'm getting practically the same thing for like a third to a fifth of the cost.
Right. And that's just me and where my collector mind goes. It's like a reproduction, basically, is how I look at it. I would much rather have the original. I'd rather just take a bit of my budget each month, put it towards the original, if I was hell-bent on getting this thing. If you're going over $1,000, which in Canada, unfortunately, we will be, and we don't have a choice for that.
Yeah.
That's just my mind. I would rather have the original version of it than a reproduction. And that's what this is, or second printing, whatever you want to call it.
Now, they haven't showcased the box art for it yet. We know the Grayskull box art is different, but obviously an homage to the original. It'll be interesting to see how different this box art is, if they're going to go similar, which we've seen in some of their promo art, or if it is going to take a little bit of a different direction. What do you think they'll do?
It's different. I hope it's different. Everything has been different up until this point art-wise, I'm pretty sure. Even Stridor and Landshark, it's been the same style but different art.
Right.
So that I love. It's in that style but different.
What about the tiers? So they had the early bird incentive to get King Grayskull if you backed within the first week, which has come and gone, which I think they should probably allow anybody to get it now that they've made the backers. Like, you want this? Okay, we'll give it to you. They also had the Moat Monster, which looks like a Daggett from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
And then they have Keklor or Dillswitch or whatever his name is. He's got the weird blue hat.
I haven't seen him. That looks
like he's, yeah. I mean, what do you think about these tiers? Basically, a figure if you back it early enough, a second little creature, and then a third figure if we hit 10,000 subs.
I'm not a big fan of the tiers. Obviously, they're directly copying the HasLab model, which seems to be working here and there.
Well, it's a stretch goal Kickstarter thing, right?
Sure. I think this playset should come with these figures automatically. Considering we got an exclusive version of Sorceress with the Origins Grayskull, they've now kind of set that. And I think it's great that He-Man playsets come with an exclusive figure. One reason I love Real American Hero is because they came with driver figures that you couldn't get anywhere else. I love that. So I think that something this big should have already come with that. I don't think King Grayskull
should
have any kind of stretch goal. Have an evil character later on, sure. But I think he should have came with it right off the bat.
Now, I love that the line is still going strong and we're still getting lots of great figures that we're hoping to see. They've released 12 or 13 He-Man figures already, which is over 10 to 15% of the line. So it's a little bit overkill on that side of things. But we are getting a Snake Mountain that is finally coming in 2023 or 2024, I think. I think it's 2023. And so while I will be putting Eternia aside and not getting it, I am super pumped to get a retail costing, like probably $100 Canadian, Snake Mountain.
It's great.
Are you awesome. Going to be picking up Snake Mountain?
Yeah. Yeah. And this thing looks awesome. It's, again, the same, but just a bit different. So
I don't understand the paint on it. I don't know if that's a glow in the dark white.
Oh, the face is like gray or white or whatever. Yeah. It's a little strange.
It could be just a prototype or a hard copy. I don't know.
Sure. I do like how the snake is more like the actual Filmation cartoon. It's a little longer. But again, it's the same vintage style, but different. I can't say it enough times. I'm a big, big fan of that. I don't like carbon copies of original things. I'd rather just get the original.
And you can attach that snake on two sides as well so that you can bend it.
Great. That's awesome. They kind of jumped the shark, in my opinion. I mean, it would have made more sense to release Snake Mountain, given it's been 2 years since Grayskull came out. To release Snake Mountain, and then everybody knows Eternia is next.
It you just mean the Fright Zone.
Seems. I mean, I know they want to jump on the HasLab, you know, bandwagon kind of thing because it's successful. But I think Snake Mountain should have came first, not as a crowdfunding, just as a retail.
Yeah, I think so too. But the thing that they know now with the crowdfunding initiative behind Eternia, if people are willing to spend this amount of money on this, what else are they? They're going to buy everything we put at retail that is iconic, like a Snake Mountain, right? Bigger question for you. You mentioned you thought it was cool we got the Temple of Darkness Sorceress with Grayskull as an exclusive figure. Who are we getting as an exclusive figure for Snake Mountain? What would be your dream choice?
I mean, off the top of my head, it would have to be some sort of Skeletor. I mean, that's his lair. I mean, that's got nothing
to do with Hordak, right? Is it Snake Mountain, King Hiss?
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, I mean, that would be, that would make even more sense, actually. I don't really have any particular ties to those characters. That was kind of after I started. I know you love the Snake Men stuff. Yeah, any kind of exclusive figure that you can't get at retail, I'm all for. They did it perfectly again with Sorceress. They even, you know, they released a regular Sorceress, which is cool. I want just a figure that I can't get anywhere else but that playset.
Yeah, I agree. I really don't care who it is. I don't want it to be some weird, obscure variant that I don't care about from some sort of regional mini comic that I'm not connected to. I'm happy to learn about it, but I want a core character that is identifiable and cool, that makes sense to be a part of Snake Mountain, whether it's a different version of Skeletor that we have yet to get, whether it's a Snake Man that has yet to be released. Just any kind of thing would be really nice as a pack-in, because we're not used to that with Master stuff.
Yeah, and once, what's going to happen after those three? I mean, Fright Zone, hopefully a redesign.
No, Slime, I think we'll get the Slime Pit. It's a smaller playset, so it's more affordable right away. And everybody loved the Slime Pit.
I would say, you know, let's create something new. You've got us with this line. I love the direction that Origins is going. I understand where it's going. I can follow it. Unlike G.I. Joe Classified, I know exactly where it's going. So, you know, let's make an Imperial Palace. Like, let's go crazy. Like, if you're going to do Eternia, make a brand new design, and let's make something that no one has ever seen before. You want to get people crazy about He-Man, even crazier. Do that. That would be so wicked.
Yeah, that would be a pretty cool playset. I can't think of another location that would be as interesting for as many people.
Redesign the Fright Zone. Make a proper Fright Zone.
If there's something that needs to be redesigned so bad, it's the Fright Zone. But I worry with a line like Origins, which is trying to put a modern twist on those vintage toys, that it won't be enough of a redesign.
Well, that's going to be a peg warmer for sure, unless they put some version of Hordak that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, I'm hoping they do that with the Slime Pit, right? Like, get a cool version of Hordak with the Slime Pit, or some sort of slimed character at least. But
slimed He-Man, that would be cool. Like a translucent green where he's all infected, or like whatever.
They did in Classics.
Cool.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. But I want to see some more new stuff. But out of all the modern toy lines, and I got to think really quickly here, I would say that I think Origins is my favorite, in that it's clear where it's going. And that's really, really important to me when I'm investing dollars in new stuff.
How much have you invested in your excitement level for the HasLabs Marvel Engines, the Engine of Vengeance Ghost Rider? Are you excited about this?
God, no.
I'm going to see if I can bring this up on our screen.
I'm not excited at all, man. I don't want to say this isn't my Ghost Rider. There we go. But it's not my Ghost Rider. Even, you know, that's like the whole Miles Morales, Peter Parker thing. Just put that all aside and let's just look at this thing. $350. You got to be crazy to get something like this. I'm going to stand by that, man. There is no reason why this toy is $350, other than Hasbro looking at the Hot Toys, Christopher Nolan Batman, Batmobile, and being like, huh, we could do something like this. People are going to pay $800 or $500, whatever it is, for this Batmobile. We could charge more for ours. What do you think, man? There's no way this is worth that money.
Well, this kind of goes back to what I was thinking about Eternia. Okay, so Eternia is, we'll stick with US prices, $550, right? The sail barge was, what, $499 when it came out a few years ago?
Yes.
The turtle van was $499 last year. The Mondo Battle Cat is $4.99, which is 1/6 scale Battle Cat.
The
Thunder Tank is $3.99.
Yeah.
Galactus was $4.49. The Razor Crest was $3.99, I think. Like, it's all within the wheelhouse. In fact, it's cheaper than all of that. But I think you're getting far less than any of those ones for the price difference. It's a $200 price difference from Eternia. And you're getting a vehicle versus like three towers. That's like one of those towers in terms of play value, right?
Yeah.
You compare it to the Turtle Van. People have said that Super 7 Party Wagon is very overpriced at $500. For something that scale with that much detail, I bought into it. It's kind of the end piece, I think, for me for that line anyways. I think there's more value in that than there is in what I'm seeing here with this spirit, like the Engine of Vengeance or whatever it's called. It just doesn't, there's not enough there. And like, to your point, it's not the most popular version of Ghost Rider out there. It's not Johnny Blaze. It's a newer iteration.
I got to correct you there because we don't know that. We like comics. We're not comic book experts. Well, I will say this.
If we don't know that iteration on some level,
sure,
that speaks to its popularity. I know several different Spider-Mans, but this version of Ghost Rider hasn't broken through to the outside pop culture sphere to communicate what he is or they are and why it's important.
Well, because they know if they do Johnny Blaze, they can't charge $350 for a chopper. Like, they can't, right? So they pick this one. And again, I just think, and again, you know, I don't mean to offend any Ghost Rider fans at all, but is that character that popular that there's going to be a HasLab? Galactus, I get. The Sentinel, I get, because you can tack on the X-Men, but this character just seems like...
Even with, was it Mephisto that comes with him? If they got to the next tier, and they're only halfway through the funding, and they're losing backers because there's 10 days to go.
Yeah.
So it's going to fail.
You got to pile on, you know, they didn't, you got to pile on these rewards early. They didn't learn anything, it appears, from the Rancor. Everyone wanted the Rancor Keeper, but instead you were going to get another version of Jedi Luke that's the same, just with the card back, that you're going to get next year for the 40th anniversary of Jedi anyway.
And you're going to get a diorama
and some rocks and some skulls, stuff that shouldn't come with the Rancor anyway. They didn't learn anything from that because they give us, I can't even remember his name when he's not Ghost Rider. Again, I don't know the character, the picture they showed of that character, it's not a render. This was an actual toy. So the early bird didn't get funded. So what happens to that toy? What happens to that mold? Are they just going to destroy it?
I guess
this is what I mean. This is what I'm talking about, where it's like, I feel like they're punishing us. Oh, well, you're never going to see this again. I don't know. I don't like that. I really don't. I think you want to sell this thing. You've obviously made the mold for this figure already. You've obviously already started the Mephisto mold. You can't show us this stuff and then take it away.
Well, they've invested in the tooling, so it'll get released later, and you'll probably see that as a two-pack.
That's what
it'll be. $120.
Yeah, it's
half ridiculous of what you would have got here.
Yeah, and you know, you've backed a few of the HasLab projects, but there's nothing that I've backed. The closest thing I came to was the Super 7 Thunder Tank, and I didn't do it because it's a crazy amount of money. And I'm sure this thing is going to be amazing. I'm sure the Hiss Tank is going to be amazing. I can't do it.
Sky Striker will probably be really cool.
Yeah, I don't see that. It's just like the vintage one. What's cool about that is the new figures that they're releasing with that. But I don't care about the Sky Striker. I've had a Sky Striker since I was 10.
But you don't have this one, Jay.
I don't have the exact same one.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Indiana Jones figures are finally coming. In fact, we talked about the Boiler Room episodes. One of the first episodes we talked about is how come there are not like a 6-inch in particular Indiana Jones lines, given what was happening with Classified way back when. And now we get 6-inch Indiana Jones line coming. At least the Raiders figures have been confirmed, and a 3¾ retro offering. Ugh. What was your thoughts on the figures in the news when it hit?
I know you were really excited about it.
I'm asking about your feelings, Jay. When it is time to hear my feelings, I will chime in.
My feelings.
Indiana,
I guess you have told the history. The two different lines that there have been. The 1982 line with a total of whopping eight figures. And the 2008 line that, looking back now, is absolutely magnificent. It's such a buried treasure, and one that I scoffed at and made fun of, I remember, when it came out. But I've since recently collected them because you get everything that you always wanted in an Indiana Jones toy line, which is the trucks, the Jeeps, the motorcycles, the set pieces. Again, you're not going to get that with the 6-inch line. So what are we buying then? We are buying 6-inch statues of these characters. And they're obviously listening to everything that people are saying, where Raiders is the only good episode and everything else is blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man.
Well, that's not going to be the case. You're going to get waves of Temple of Doom and Last Crusade and probably Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And it would be cool if there was enough fandom to get some of the deep cuts in the way that Star Wars does the comic book and video game figures. Because there's been a ton of indie figures there could be a ton of indie figures from the video games that are out there. Be cool to get some of the young Indiana Jones stuff, or like even like a River Phoenix figure from Last Crusade, right? There's more than enough cool figures out there. I'm okay not having all the vehicles because it wasn't a very vehicle heavy series. Like Star Wars, vehicles are baked into wanting to get anywhere. Indy is like basically on a plane and then he's there. You see the red line, that's it. A horse would be cool. A horse is easy to do, but it's not like Indy has, you know, the General Lee or Ecto-1 or the Batmobile.
No, but recreating those scenes with the trucks, the Jeeps, the motorbikes, the horse.
I don't need to do that. The horse, maybe. The horse, maybe. The map room, sure. Well, the souls, sure. I guess you could do the goblet room with the knight from The Last Crusade. That would be so cool.
You could do the Club Obi-Wan from the beginning of Temple of Doom. We still never got a James Bond Indiana Jones tee, which would be friggin' amazing with the white tux.
Yeah. See, there's lots of potential for variants.
Yeah.
And I'm fine doing that as a 6-inch one. I think the 6-inch ones look really great. That retro figure, though, that is an awful looking figure that they did. You look at like the hips in the crotch joint piece. That is disgusting. Like that is something that's going to break the second the sunlight hits it.
Well, those figures are famously taken from the failed Kenner Butch Cassidy line. They're directly from those molds. Even the horses are the horses from the Butch Cassidy line. So yeah, they're designed like that to ride horses. But I guess, you know, Kenner's just like, let's just take these molds and we'll swap the heads out. Yeah, I don't like the recreation of the retro. I really don't like it. So, I don't know. Maybe this is different because the Kenner Indy stuff is so rare that this is your chance to finally get your hands on Indy or whoever else they make.
Again, the packaging is the best part.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. They kept the string whip, you know, the really frail little tiny revolver he has. They kept it the same. But then you got that big, ugly retro sticker. Like someone is actually going to be able to pass this off for an 82 original. Come on. You don't need that retro sticker on there.
No. Are you buying any of these figures, the 6-inch or the retro?
All right.
Yeah, I see you're in.
I do like the build artifact. That's cool. The first one is, of course, the Ark. Yeah. Right. I guess they got to get us, right? I mean, you and I are.
That's their build a figure.
Hardcore indie guys. But there's some people that just like Raiders is the best and that's it. So they got to grab everybody. And everybody loves Raiders, right? So they got to grab everybody off the beginning. So I get why they're doing it. I would have liked to have seen one or two of the figures be from a different movie. Just so you kind of know the direction they're going.
Yeah, so you can pick and choose, complete each of the sets.
But I guess you're not going to get Willie Scott come with a piece of the Ark. I mean, that would be kind of strange, right? So
you get like one of the stones with Willie Scott and that's it.
Yeah. That's it. we're going to get windowless packaging, and they're going to be probably, by the time they come out, $50-$55 each. So
really, because the pre-order was $25, I think.
Yeah, I'm talking about straight old retail here. I bet you they're going to be, if Legends are $46, these won't be any less, right?
Yeah, well, this is where you've got to buy them from like Big Bad and just import them because it's cheaper. You'll save $10 bucks a figure. Then that's a whole nother figure after you buy three.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I said to you, and again, it's very, very different when I have it in front of me. I'm extremely weak-willed when I have it in front of me. But that being said, I have the vintage Indy. I have the 2008 Indy, most of them. It's like, how many Indies do you need, right?
One more. 2023 Indy.
Pick them up.
All right, that'll bring us to action figure spotlight for the week. Jay, you've got something. I've got something. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. It's been a while. So the windowless packaging for Hasbro has been a hot button topic for quite a while now. I know I've certainly talked about it a lot. So I picked this figure up. It's a Walmart exclusive. And yet, even though Hasbro continues to beat us over the head with plastic-free packaging, we're not going to have any more plastic, this figure, which is new, even though it's on a retro card, still has the plastic window. It has the plastic window. But anyway, enough about that. This is the Lizard from the 90s cartoon Spider-Man. And you know what's funny about this? I said to Rob not too long ago, Sandman came out. I'm like, I got Sandman. I'm happy. That's the last Spider-Man character I need from this line. And then Rhino and Lizard came out. And I was just like, Lizard. But I had to get Doc Connors here. This figure is amazing. A little overpriced again. We got a really cool 60 years of Spider-Man sticker there. 60 years. Comes with some beakers, alternate head, his tail, of course, which Lizard needs. There's the back.
Oh, so
replicated
good.
Replicated exactly like the card backs from the 90s. This is a great figure and one that is a no open. This is going right on the wall.
Is that coat cloth kids or plastic?
It's plastic, hard plastic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a pretty great figure. I didn't know that was Walmart exclusive. I'm going to have to try to find a way to track that down because that is a nice one. I've got something that's fairly large here. I got to go big on this one. And you can see the name on this box already. So this is the WWE Ultimate Edition New Generation Arena. This was a Mattel Creations crowdfunding wrestling ring. Ooh. I have yet to open it. So let's have an unboxing here and see what that's like.
WWFE, whatever.
What would be your wrestling theme song, Jay? If you could pick any song from any band as you enter the arena, what would it be?
I would make up my own song. It'd be like, Denny, oh yeah, you, and oh yeah, me. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, here we go. So I take this off and I get this wonderful welcoming image of nothing. It just says, adult collector. Now let's see what it looks like.
Then you're like embarrassed after reading that. You're like,
I get a big neon W, and I don't even on the back. Oh, look, there's Doink and Diesel, which are included in here. And of course you have all the unlocks. You got Diesel, Doink, and of course the ring with all the different skirts. So you can do WrestleMania. It has that little entrance there too, Jay. So you can actually have your figures come through that. And as an early backer, so I have a Macho Man, a ring announcer style coming my way too. I don't think this opens easily. Let me see here. Oh, maybe it does.
That's a toy. You can't open that.
You're right. I probably shouldn't. Oh, yeah. Oh, this thing is huge. Okay. I'm not going to be able to put it all together for everybody, but let me see. So you can see how big some of this stuff is.
That's cool.
Like that's the entrance for the figures to come through.
That lights up, right? Looks like it lights up.
I would hope so.
It looks like it definitely lights up.
I mean, as you can see, I know so much about this piece. What's interesting is wrestling figures are like have been exploding for a long time in the world of collecting. And you and I have both kind of stayed away from it, except for a figure here or two. And I thought, well, like we talked about earlier, where would I start with collecting something new? I wanted to at least have, of course, the playset, anchor it with a few pieces, and kind of be done. So I've got that now. I don't have to worry about anything else. So just get the figures.
Congrats. That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Now you're going to have to start collecting wrestling figures, and then you know what's going to happen. We're just going to start watching wrestling again, and oh boy, then you're going to call me and be like, hey, you should watch this show, and then we're going to get the
game. You know what's really cool, though? And I saw this, I think, on Bounty Hunter's Twitter feed, because they just moved to a new store, and they have a whole new setup. It's a different place in Hamilton, and I thought, we love the accessories that come with a lot of our figures, and like, oh, this person had a great sword, or that lightsaber is really cool. Mike from Bounty Hunter had a whole case of all the different championship belts that were released. Oh, cool. So that's a cool thing to try to collect and put together for all the different figures, because everyone, a lot of them had different belts, right? So cool thing to go for. But that'll do it for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Jay, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, it's good to be back. And thanks to everyone for watching. Don't forget to subscribe to Rob's channel and then come on over to my channel, Jay Bartlett, subscribe there. And thanks for the support, guys. Always reach out to us on social media, because we love talking toys, video games, pop culture, anything you want to talk about. Just give us a shout.
That's right. Hit me up on Twitter as well, at Rob McZabor, on Instagram, either through at Action Figure Adventure or at Rob McCallum Films. Like Jay said, make sure you check out his channel for more in-depth discussions with other people from the toy community on a lot of the topics that we discuss and a little bit more, plus his gaming exploits as well. If you're into a lot of retro games, go back and relive them with Jay as he discovers them and unearths some things that he's probably forgotten about as he pushes through the various adventures of yesteryear. I'll try to remember how we end all these episodes. It has been 6 months. I think it's for the love of toys and the power of something, the power of Grayskull. Take care of yourself.
For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves.
Yes. For the love of toys and the warmth
time,
of scarves.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the best time of Jay is?
It's playtime.
All right. See everyone. We hope this is weekly. Cheers.
Cheers.